This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on this show.
She grew up in an Indiana town, had a good-looking mom, who never was around.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
Father Teresa's wine cellar. Father Teresa's wine cellar. Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real. When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain. I feel something creeping in and I'm tired of this town again.
All right. Let's figure this thing out.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
WineCellarMedia.com. All right, Facebook Live is on. The Blog Talk Radio is on. William Spivey should be coming on this one. Actually, William Spivey, we scheduled him in for to come in at 6:30 p.m. in my time zone, so 7:30 p.m. in his time zone. But yeah, William Spivey, if you tune in, just jump in whenever you're ready, and you know what that is. 347-857-3937. All right, I can dig it. I think you can dig it, but you're not really 100% in the wine cellar yet until everybody can dig it.
Father Teresa's wine cellar. Father Teresa's wine cellar.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Fucking right, boy. Scary sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat shit. Side though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here, though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building, this school, this country, you. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Cooling at a party, no better yet disco. Head feeling mellow from a bottle of Cisco. Your fire sucker MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me. Because you do do. You're treating me the Z to the D. Like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs. You know who you are. On your bandwagon, YZ. Cause you a star. This is a year when the jokers are wild. When you're fat, you're happy. Let's try to bite your style. Like a hip to the skin. Before it happens, if it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bar. Because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give.
Indeedly do, neighbor. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. William J. Jackson, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nigglesworth. Phoenix Kalider, the uppity negress. She is not on this episode. She's in the living room using her crochet. Thanks to the homie Becker Loco. Sent Phoenix Kalider some fancy crochet supplies. Thank you. And she's out there enjoying herself with them on the right now status. Lisa Loco is relatively busy. Things are real with Lisa Loco. Shit is real. Catherine Loco, also busy. Basically, it's almost turning back into the old monologue program that it used to be. Some of the folks from early 2013 and late 12 might remember that shit, where it was just me trying to figure it out, just in the room, just talking to myself, right, just yelling at myself. All right, and William Spivey, right, we want William Spivey on this one from the Enigma in Black. WordPress.com. I came across this individual from the Sefgi Fernandez program, which is Together We Stand, and we need more episodes of that too. Like it's up there. I think Sefgi has like 7 or 8 episodes. Like yeah, keep rocking those. Like if you essentially if you do them every Sunday, you know at the end of a year you have 52 episodes. Like that's a decent archive to start from. You know, and Sefgi Fernandez does high-quality programs, like check out Together We Stand. Darn good interviews, very useful information. The type of information that gets you up off your keister and out and busy and active. All right, now I'm going to take a look here. All right, so there is someone in the phone bank, but I don't have the notification to know that if you want to speak up on the program. And if that is William Spivey, then press 1 and I'll get that notification, or message me in the Facebooks and I'll get the notification that you messaged me. All right, that sounds like a fair deal. And that's the 352 number that I see there. All right, don't forget, check WineCellarMedia.com. Straight news. The news that you get on WineCellarMedia.com for the Black Podcast. Excuse me. Those news article posts, they have no opinion to them. Like, those are just the straight journalism posts from small-time news outlets that we archive in our space. And then when we bring them to you on this program, then we kind of filter it through our opinion, excuse me, to where we're like, all right, this is the shit I got to say about this, dat gum, dat gamut. All right, so and what I see going on in my personal feed, right, coming off of The Intercept, white Brazilians don't want to accept their racism in controversy over African head wraps. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. All right, I think folks are legitimately surprised by that. Like, no one saw it coming. No one would have ever seen that coming. And then there's that fucking radio DJ out there in St. Louis who was just doing this thing calling Wacky Flacky Flames a nigger, you know, and then he said that he'd be willing to apologize on a conditional, all right, let's see if we can bring that up. Oh, I hate TMZ, so much flash. So what's this guy have to say?
The most anticipated
oh, of course. Of course, they play a NASCAR commercial before I can get to it. But yeah, this guy, and folks like myself and Scotty Reed of the Black Talk Radio Network, we've been letting folks know you can contact the FCC, get this fool off the air.
If he'll take the violence out of his rap, I'll never again call him a and I'll apologize to him. But
if he'll take the violence out of his rap, I'll never again call him a nigger and I'll apologize to him. If you can take the violence out of white supremacy, then I will never again call you a white supremacist. If you can take the imperialism, if you can take your ass back to Europe, we won't have to interact with each other anymore. That's one thing that Europeans will, and that is the level of white supremacy that all Europeans are somewhat comfortable with, right? The most lefty, McLefterson, progressive, progressified white person, classified as white, will not go back to Europe and stay there. They won't do it. Like, they remain occupying forces. No matter how lefty McLefterson they are, you remain an occupying force all over the fucking planet. Go the fuck back to Europe.
And until then, he is what he is. I'm not a racist. I don't like that no good greasy son of a bitch. That's not hatred in the community. It's not hatred for the blacks. It's hatred for him and his actions.
Hatred for him and his actions. I like how he's pretending that he's the only hardcore MC. And to my knowledge, Wacky Flacky Flames isn't even that hardcore. Right? Like, I've heard some of his work before. He's not that fucking grisly. Like, fools be acting like every single rapper is like some 1994 straight up G. They're not all that. All right. This guy, let him keep going.
He can say for the First Amendment, and he can talk about killing people and killing cops and killing crackers, but I can't. The black people in this community, the proud black people, know me, but he...
They know me. He can't name any names. He can't get anybody to come on camera with you, but they know me because I said so. I said it's true, therefore fact. What the fuck are you talking about? And, all right. And he said, stop calling me Cracker. Cracker's the one that cracks the whip, right? So that's a hierarchy thing, right? So if you're above someone in the hierarchy, then yeah, you are a cracker to them, all right? Like if there's a workplace and there's a Japanese fucking worker and there's a Samoan boss, well, that Samoan is a cracker to that Japanese person because they crack the whip on them to make them labor harder so that the corporation can get more profit.
He is not a proud black person. He said that I was disrespectful for calling him a because I'm nothing but a white cracker. I'd like to ask, all I want is a proud white man, and I'm not a racist by any means. I just want equal treatment. I say to Waka Flocka, I call him a because that's a disrespect.
The white man just wants equal treatment. It's not fair out there. It's hard out there for a white man. All right, he just wants equal treatment.
Because that's a disrespectful term to a disrespectful person. He didn't reach out to me. He's saying he'll come, and he'll take care of business. He don't need the police. Now that's hate speech. Waka Flocka.
That's hate speech. He said he'll take care of business. He doesn't need the police. Take care of business is vague, right? So that could mean he's going to step to you and offer you up a fair one in the backyard, right? Like, let's see who could drop them knuckle hammers the nicest, right? So that's very vague like that, or sit down and talk it out. So like, he's gonna say that's hate speech. That's not hate speech. That's fucking, essentially that's a fair warning. That's an adult approaching you like an adult. And like, you motherfuckers that don't want big government in the way, well, police are a government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded organization. So get the government out of it and handle like a couple of fucking individuals. Individualism, right? Liberty!
Can come by any time in this world, but let me tell you, I'm far from being a racist. I'm a proud white man. And if he thinks that thug ass of his scares me, he's got another thing coming.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Like, why do they still say they're not racist? What is the deal there? Like, you are. Like, we know you are. You know you are. But they have there's some thing in their head that's like where they can't say it out loud. Like, it's like they enjoy lying, right? It's weird. It's a weird idea. But it's like they enjoy dishonesty. It's like they like saying something that's not factual. You know, maybe that's why absurdist comedy is so popular, right? Like fucking, you know, like Louis C.K., Patton Oswalt, Bill Burr, shit like that. Like, people who just say, like, deliberately absurd, hyperbolic shit. You know, like, maybe that's why they like that shit. Maybe that's why they like unrealistic action movies with giant robot cars. Like, they like the unreal. Yeah, I mean, that's why so many of them are fucking Christians, and not a dadgum one of them follows in the footsteps of the fictional character Jesus. Because they just like to fucking lie. All right, still coming off of my news, right? Like, he is kind of showing you folks how I do show prep. All right, so, I mean, the story is still going on with the French police conclude anal rape of suspect with cops truncheon was an accident. Accidental rape. Whoops! Oops! Didn't see it coming. And, you know, and that reminds me of that old Ice Cube record on the Lethal Injection album. And it was, the song was What Can I Do? And it was before he had the remix, right? That with the music video with Mac 10 in it, like working at McDonald's and shit. And at the end of it, you know, he was like, these are the charges that I place on the white man. And one of the charges was sodomy of the black man. And yeah, like, white men raping black men is, that's a real, like, kind of like institutionalized issue in the system of white supremacy on a global scale. But, you know, because of hypermasculinity, homophobia, inverted homophobia, and shame, niggas don't talk about it. Niggas just don't talk about it. Oh, man. All right, let's see what else is going on with a little bit of what's going on in the sex workers' rights news. Ireland is questioned on human rights of sex workers by the UN, the United Nations. Oh, excuse me. Oh, shoot. And I see a notification on the Facebooks with a message. Oh, shit. And I'm mispronouncing his last name. Is that Spivy? Okay. So that is William on the line there. So let me go ahead and bring him in there. And click. And your microphone's hot.
And how you doing? It's good to be with you today.
Oh, hello. Oh, okay. I don't know what kind of telephone you're on, but that's very clear audio. That's good stuff.
Well, I got a headset on. I tried to shut out the outside world and just spend this time with you.
All right. And I'm pronouncing wrong. Is that Spivy?
Yeah, it's Spivy. Almost everybody else is Spivy, but it just is the way it is.
Okay, I'm saying that. I think I know what it is, because when I see those letters in front of my face, my brain clicks back to that old movie, The Best Man. that was one.
Terrence Howard.
Yes. Yep. All right. So let's see. So I can get back to this for another episode with the Irish Times and sex workers' rights. I'm gonna go over here to Enigma in Black, and you actually have a new one up, a new one titled Traitors! Exclamation. And in the image you have Polly Wally Ryan Boy, you have the Manhattan Mangerine, and Mitch fucking McConnell. I've never seen a neck sit over a collar the way Mitch McConnell's does. That is ridiculous.
I've got to remember all these names so I can use them in the future in my blog post. But yes, for as much as Trump is and does, he can't do it by himself. He's got to have the permission and he's got to have Congress working with him to accomplish pretty much everything. There's only so much a president can do by executive order. So what he's got is a Congress that is either complicit with him or fearful of a tweet. So they're going to give him whatever he wants to stand by and say nothing.
Yeah, and the stuff that's going on is pretty much expected Republican. They're going to go against abortion rights. They're going to go against the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, like all this stuff, I kind of just expect it's a little more blatant and in your face. If there's any unions left, they're gonna go after those unions. And then like he got active on the oil pipeline, where it's like he got active on, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Whereas with a Democrat, they just would have turned their back and let it happen. You know, like let it be in the Friday night news dump.
Well, you know, one time he was an investor in the pipeline, too. And he may still well be. We don't really know because we don't have any sense of his records or sense of his financial dealings.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me. Like, and he probably still is, because they know how to find ways to wash the money. And looking as you start into it, so you open up the blog post in a way that I like this. You define what you're talking about before you talk about it, because it's titled "Traitor!" exclamation, and then boom, bullet. A person or persons not loyal to his or her own country or friends, etc. A person who betrays a country or a group of people by helping or supporting an enemy. Right, so let people know exactly what you're talking about before you jump into it. In your opening paragraph, you go in with Joe McCarthy served as a United States Senator from 1947 until his death in 1957. After 3 undistinguished years of service in the Senate, he gained national attention when he indicated he had a list of members of the Communist Party and members of a spy ring serving in the State Department. He used charges of communism, communist sympathies, disloyalty, and homosexuality to attack political opponents and others in and out of government. Joe McCarthy, a Democrat, saw communists and sympathizers everywhere. Yep, and I think we see a little bit of that. And you can point to that on you know, both sides kind of have their McCarthyism. Really, it's almost like if you step outside of them, all groups of people that share ideas have a McCarthyism. Like I see, like the fake social justice crowd, they just throw out problematic. They throw out problematic. That's like a dog whistle to their followers and their circles. Like, oh, watch out for that one. You know, during the primary, the dog whistle the McCarthyism was Bernie Bros. With the libertarian right, it's social justice warriors. And then the Democrats had fake news as theirs, and then the Republicans jacked it from them, and you know, and that's it. So yeah, like, and maybe it's always been going on as long as our species has had tribalism and language, and Joe McCarthy just gave us a name. That's what I think off the top of my head.
And I think what's important for all of us is to really know our history. And, you know, right now we can point to the Republican Party and say that they're racist. But, you know, before that, the Democrats have done just as much or more dirt. And, in fact, you know, America has always been racist. And even the institutions that are there, the three branches, the government, the Supreme Court, has been the main ones to protect white exceptionalism. And even when the Congress, you know, back at the time when they used to promote things like civil rights and voter rights, there's never been one Voting Rights Act or Civil Rights Act that the Supreme Court hasn't gone behind and weakened it like they did to the Voting Rights Act when they gutted the enforcement of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, because folks, like, forget that stuff. Like when Ferguson was popping off, like, people realized that it was a Democrat who was over that. And then the special prosecutor that threw the case to get Darren Wilson off was a Democrat that's been getting reelected since 1994, you know, and still a Democrat. Kim Davis, Democrat. You look around at these black cities and towns, they have Democrat mayors that close schools and build jails. Yeah, so yeah, like it's like the Democrats are just polite about it. You know, it's just white supremacy without the N-word. You know, like, it's still oppression, it's just that they're smiling while they do it.
Yeah, I did a series of posts where I said that American exceptionalism is a lot of Americans like to point to and try to get President Obama to adopt. they wanted him to adopt it. You know, he said that, you know, he was sure that all countries felt there was something special about their country, but they needed him to say that America was superior, and by saying that, the white people were superior. But I did this post saying that American exceptionalism is the exact same thing as white exceptionalism, and that our government and all its entities have backed that up since the beginning of our nation. And you look at the, you know, mass incarceration and things going on in Ferguson and the people supporting it, you know, that's how cities got funding, through accepting additional money to support their police forces and to get paid to lock people up on specifically drug offenses. And, you know, that so much has been done by Democrats and Republicans to hurt black people, and the efforts to correct it are weak. They talk about Jeff Sessions helped reduce the difference in penalties for crack cocaine versus powder cocaine to only an 18-to-1 difference. Like that was an achievement. So that means you're only serving 18 times the sentence for crack cocaine and for powder cocaine. So we still got a ways to go.
Yeah, and of course, like, that so-called war on drugs, really just, it's not even, there is no actual war, right? That's just a word they throw out. It's not a war on drugs. It's a policy to control and shuffle people around, right? Because they know that the human brain is susceptible to stimulants, antidepressants, depressants, and that addiction and complacency can happen when people consume these things. There's drug addiction, food addiction, you know, but people get addicted to certain foods, but there is no war on those restaurants. There's no war on McDonald's, you know, like, because McDonald's is a corporation. But then, like, as more of these places, like, have their certain ways of legalizing or decriminalizing reefer, and as that becomes incorporated, then they'll let them have their free reign. You know, but yeah, that's just a way of shuffling folks around. You know, because, like, in this system of capitalism, which is, you know, remixed feudalism with Wi-Fi, you know, there's never going to be, like, 100% or 99% or even 98% employment, because if everybody's employed, then nobody is desperate for a job, and so you can't scare your employee with being fired, because there's so many people that'll come and take that job for even less pay. You know, and that's how I tangent. Let's see.
Yep.
Jump into your second paragraph here on traitors. This is and anybody just now tuning in, enigmainblack.wordpress.com with William Spivey, and moving forward with traitor. We now have several Republican leaders that refuse to see Russian sympathizers anywhere. They are willing to allow potential Russian influence to go unrestrained in the Trump administration, refusing to see or allow the public to see or hear the extent of infiltration and influence that Russia had on Donald Trump and those around him. Some do this under the belief that they can accomplish much of their agenda, which they put before the security of our nation. Others, because they are afraid that Donald Trump will turn his supporters against them with a tweet, causing them to be defeated in future runs for office. Whatever the reason, they ignore the peril to our country for personal reasons. They are traitors. Right. And then I haven't seen any updates on it, because I kind of had a pretty darn active Friday evening all the way into Saturday morning to right now. But there was that Russian ship hanging out. Oh, geez. Where was that? Not Massachusetts, Connecticut.
Off the coast of Delaware.
Okay. And what makes that interesting to me is that they're having a special election on the 25th. So it's like, if there is any concern about hacking, you might want to see what, or, you know, take those, stop using those voting machines, use paper ballots, or if you have to use the voting machines, take them off the damn open internet. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll
and as far as Trump and the Russians, you know, I don't give Trump the credit for even having a, you know, an allegiance to a philosophy, to communism, or to anything other than money. I think that his allegiance with Russia, if it exists, comes from, you know, them having their, him being into them for money, or having some financial benefit that he can accrue from dealing with Russia that we're not allowed to know about because we've never seen those taxes. And the traitors are those that, you know, a month ago, a year ago, a week ago, would have sworn that Russia was their mortal enemy, but now are willing to look the other way when it's Trump, because they think they can do all the other things they want to do, like kill Obamacare and stop Planned Parenthood and continue voter suppression and all the other things they want to do.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Let me keep dancing it forward. And your next one, you continue saying, as information leaks out about the level of influence Russia exerted to elect Donald Trump, they grudgingly began half-hearted investigations into what occurred. Rather than allow an impartial, independent investigation, they fight to maintain control within existing congressional committees where they can control the scope, the witnesses, and more importantly, the result of the investigation, as they did during the multiple Benghazi investigations. I already forgot about those. Jesus Christ. They've been having such a wacky time since November 8th that, yeah, I gotta go back and refresh on some of just the past 4 years. Yeah.
And Jason Chaffetz, who's over the House committee that does those investigations, he is still refusing to investigate Trump for anything except the minuscule stuff. He sent a letter about Kellyanne Conway saying that the White House needs to say something to her about promoting Ivanka Trump's products online, but he hasn't got anything to say about Donald Trump in Russia. But he's still going after Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. He's still looking for, he's subpoenaed 70 people since the election, trying to find more stuff to pin on Hillary.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah, I you know what? I forgot about that, too. Like, this stuff is happening so much. Like, so far, this thing, I've said this several times already, I'll say it again. This thing is a gish gallop. You know, like when you're interacting with someone you disagree with, and they say so many bizarre things that it kind of confuses you trying to figure out which line of nonsense that you need to rebut against first, and it frustrates the debate opponent. And yeah, like, Donald Trump is a gish gallop on me in particular, because, like, I'm a slow learner and I work full time, so this guy is killing me with, like, every time I look at my smart device, I got an update on my NBC application that just says Trump did some old bullshit again. Like, it's just it's constantly going. Fucking the next one, you continue saying, Mitch McConnell refused to agree to the information on Russian influence to be made public before the election. He's the main one seeking to limit the control of the Senate investigation. The likely meddling by Russia is a serious issue, but it doesn't require a select committee, said Mitch McConnell. A Republican from Kentucky, and he said the Senate Intelligence Committee is able to investigate the matter, he added. Mitch McConnell. Ugh. Clown.
And the important part about him wanting it to keep in the Senate, in that Senate committee, is that they control the result that gets published. So they can spin it any kind of way they want to spin it. And because some of the material is going to be considered confidential, that he'll be able to keep the minority party, the Democrats, from putting out an opposing view of any real consequence. So basically they can reach the conclusion they want, they can spin it however they want to spin it, and basically end up saying, and like they plan to say, nothing to see here. So unless it's done in the open, you know, the chances are it won't be done well at all.
Jesus Christ. Oh, and as I'm going down the blog post on your page, like, you have the sidebar, and anybody looking at this enigmainblack.wordpress.com, right there in the sidebar is a widget where you can like the Facebook page right from the blog page and get updates right there in your Facebook feed. All right, continuing, says, Paul Ryan subverts any attempt within the House of Representatives to have an independent investigation. He said, quote, I'll leave it up to the administration to describe the circumstances. I'm not going to prejudge any of the circumstances surrounding this until we have all of the information. End quote. It's almost like he just said, I don't work hard. I like sitting down. And you chose the perfect picture of him, too, where it just looks like he fucking has a lollipop stuck in his face. He's just a little punk-ass little boy. That's why I call him Polly Wally Ryan Boy. I don't care how much he P90Xs, all right? You can't P90 23rd Street. I can't stand that guy. All right. And you continue with saying Jason Chaffetz, chair of the House Oversight Committee, refuses to investigate Trump both in his relationship with Russia and any potential conflict of interest, including Russians, that Trump has which could compromise his decisions as president. He recently told a raucous town hall, quote, the president is exempt from conflict or of interest laws, while the crowd chanted, do your job. Instead of following up on the Russian ties to the Trump administration, he's beginning investigations of those leaking information to the press who are the only reason we know what we do. And which, and I'll tell you, I don't know what you think about this, but it's like, and again, you know, I understand that it's tribalism, but, and I probably shouldn't let it bug me, but I just noticed that all of a sudden, a lot of Democrat folks are like very pro-leaker. They're all about leaks. They're all about document dumping. But when it was Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden, you know, they were all about that. Lock them up. You're a traitor. You know, and it's just like, ah, you fucking guys, man. Like, it just I said it in a rap I did a few weeks ago. I hate Republicans and I side-eye Democrats. I don't know. What do you think about that? How folks are responding to the leaks?
Well, all of them give politicians a bad name. And Republicans are only worse than the Democrats. The Democrats got plenty that they do wrong and they have always been wrong on. And I wish there were a viable third alternative. I really do. But given the choices we have now and the impact of those choices, you know, I'm a Democrat and I will vote Democrat in almost every instance, but it's only because I don't have a better option. And it's for the Republicans, as long as they participate in voter suppression, there's nothing else they can say to me to make me support them.
Yeah, and really, because like, and when I think about it, like, a lot of black people are really kind of conservative. Like a lot of black people are about that conservative shit. They're about patriarchy, you know, I'd like to have a gun and defend my home. They're about that Jesus, you know, they're about boys being boys and girls being girls, you know, anti-LGBT. Like, even like black people that, you know, seem like, you know, hip and urban. Like I check out Tariq Nasheed's program. Like, I analyze what he's talking about. And that dude's a conservative. You know, I've heard a lot of Frances Cress Welsing interviews. She's conservative as shit. You know, I've said this before on other episodes. I just never said it talking to you before. And yeah, like a lot of these folks are conservative. And if the Republicans would just let go of the neo-Confederate bullshit, they would have a lot more of the black vote. You know, like easily like 35% to 40% more. You know, because a lot of people would just vote democratically, out of habit. But the Democrats aren't earning the vote. Republicans are just pushing it away. Let's see, and you continue here, saying, in addition to supporting an enemy, these men and others have betrayed their country by approving several cabinet members with no interest in serving in the nation's best interest. Beyond merely being incompetent, Carson, they've confirmed candidates whose expressed purpose is to destroy the agencies they now head, Price, Perry, DeVos. Special mention goes to Scott Pruitt of the EPA, who has filed 14 lawsuits against the agency, some of which are ongoing and in which he refuses to recuse himself. They have put party before country, betrayed the Constitution and the American people. The committee chairs rushed through these candidates. In Pruitt's case, refusing to wait the weekend while thousands of emails between himself and the energy companies he would regulate were to be released by order of a federal judge. Pruitt had illegally refused to comply with the Freedom of Information Act request for 2 years before being finally compelled to do so. Damn. Yeah, that's a heavy paragraph. Yeah, like people who are put in charge of shit that they want to destroy. Like me, like I'm a 90s hip-hop head. Like, put me in charge of who record labels will sign and drop, and there will be no rappers for the next 3 years while I filter through all these cats, because I want to destroy current mainstream rap. So it's not a good idea to put me ahead of it, because if you look at my record, I've been campaigning against it since 2007, you know, and let's go. And there's one more paragraph. Let's tear through this last one. The only way to change this behavior is through public pressure and voting them out. I pray the leaks continue and the eventual outcry forces even these men to act and then not be allowed to cover up the investigations. We are watching these men literally give America away to large business interests and a foreign power. Traitors. Yeah. I don't know. Any closing words on that?
Well, just that it's, I guess both parties are equally guilty. Well, I would say equally guilty, because I think this is a new high or low, depending on how you look at it. They're both guilty of often putting their party ahead of the nation, maybe with the thought that, you know, if they can keep power or get power, then they can do the things they want to do, which in their mind is better for the nation. But you know, the things they're having to overlook now, there is just, you know, if you can watch Trump, like I just watched his little speech in Melbourne, that he gets rally in Melbourne, and the man is functionally illiterate.
Yeah.
He can't speak. He doesn't process thoughts at all.
Yeah.
That you can't watch him and not know that he is not up to the job. And that he's scary. And when you think of the power he has, and that, you know, he could send us to nuclear war, if he's having a bad day, you know, that should scare everybody. But and the people that are able to overlook that because they think it could advance their own agenda. And you know, I'm thinking now of the 100 black pastors. I'm thinking of black preachers that stood by him, Daryl Scott. Omarosa, just, you know, they've sold their soul for what they think is personal advancement, and there's a cost for that, and they'll see it.
Yeah, so this is he's a legitimately weird dude, and you know, I was born in 1983, and I really didn't start really becoming aware of some of this stuff until, my biological mother made me pay attention to the campaigns in 1992, which is how I grew to hate the Clintons, was the campaign in 92, you know, particularly the execution of the mentally challenged black man, you know, like, so I've hated the Clintons since I was 9 years old, but I was born in 83, so most of what I read about, like, past administrations, well, most of what I know about them is what I read about them, or like I listen to podcasts of older people that talk about them. Like, how old are you?
I'm 60.
So you've seen way more than me. So like, do you think that that this is similar to when Reagan came in?
Well, I think it's more similar to maybe Nixon. When you know, I first started getting interested in politics during Watergate, I was in school at Fisk University, and they had the hearings on TV, and I'm watching this and seeing, you know, the abuse of power, and, you know, the people that were going to great lengths to defend him, knowing what he was. And by the time we got to Reagan, and we had the Southern strategy had really kicked in. Maybe start even before that under Bush the first, And, you know, that they're not afraid to use race, whether or not it's based on actual racism or just a ploy to get the votes that they need. You know, the effect is they're willing to do whatever it takes to advance white people at our expense in order to win elections and gain power and money.
Yeah, damn. So you saw, like, you saw stuff happening, like, again, like, these are just things that I read about or that I hear, like, the older folks say, like, how Republicans destroyed unions because that was how the Democrats raised money for campaigns. And instead of saving the unions, the Democrats just turned their backs on them and took money from the same groups that were giving Republicans money. And then that's how you end up with a pro-bankster, corporatist bipartisanship. You know, and again, like, this is just what I've heard and read, like, but you've actually seen this happen?
Well, yeah, and some of it, you know, wasn't, you're more conscious of it today than you were at the time, like the mass incarceration and the crime bills. There was a lot of support for that on all sides. Democrats supported it, Republicans supported it. You could make the case that while, you know, some of that happened, a lot of it happened under Clinton's watch, Bill Clinton's watch.
There is a break right here because the computer died, and then we continue.
You know, history is amazing. And if you know our history, and you're not going to get it while you're not going to get it reading the school books produced by the state of Texas, but if you know our history, you'll understand that a lot of the stuff that's happening now, including some of the stuff Trump is doing, is not, you know, is not totally new. It's things that have happened before. And if you go through, you know, the founding of our country and some of the things that the way we even decide the way our country's borders were made up, for example, the border with Canada was a deal between Britain and United States as to how to divide up the Indian territories. And the fact that the Texas border is what it is and we didn't invade Mexico was based on not wanting to deal with more Mexicans. So it was an attempt to keep America as white as possible. So, you know, if you know your history and know how the laws came to be, how the Constitution was written, the Electoral College was an attempt to defend slavery and slave states to make sure that they had enough power to keep from being overwhelmed by the North. And, you know, that bit about, you know, black people being two-thirds of a person, you know, that about is about power and control. So know your history is what's important that I can tell you.
Word. Okay, I just had to call. You can tell my audio just changed. I had to call in from my house phone because my computer just, like, it just bungee jumped. I don't know what happened. It's just the screen just went black, and then it went to the home screen, and I have to log back in.
I think they heard us talking. You know, the NSA, they got powers.
Ooh, yeah, and I have over 500 episodes of talking real greasy. I have not been very polite to the establishment. Mm-hmm. Okay, now for some, right, so this is so bizarre and creepy, because the computer died, but nothing stopped going. The internal recording of the podcast kept going. The background music kept playing. All the applications are still up. Skype, iTunes, everything is still on, but the screen just turned itself off. All right, nice and creepy. I appreciate that level of creepy. So I'm going to have to splice together what we finished recording on Blog Talk Radio with what I have on the internal recording, which is, that's like a 15-minute job. I'll get that done easy. I guess one more thing I wanted to see what you think about is this. What folks are saying is an internal fight among the left. And where I stand is I don't just consider everybody to be the left. To me, the Democrats are not the left. They're Republicans with gay friends, you know, and folks are like people are mad at Jill Stein, and people are mad at the Bernie bros and the progressives and what they call the regressive left and the far left. And I'm like, those people are just the left. And these folks, you know, they're in the social networks. They're on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Tumblr, the YouTube. And they're really trashing people of whom – and they're mad at them because they didn't get their vote. And so you don't get someone's vote. And so when the next election comes around, you've spent all this time insulting them and, like, and being rude and belittling them. And it's politics. Like, you're supposed to be trying to win votes, and I think a lot of these bitter Democrats, a lot of these white feminists, this black petty bourgeois crowd that is anti-labor, like, they're just pushing votes away again, and they're going to make themselves lose again, unless Donald Trump does what something that I think he's inadvertently doing, that Republicans inadvertently do, is they just lower the bar for how decent Democrats have to be to get the reluctant vote. But, yeah, I think a lot of these self-appointed surrogates online, they should really shut up and stop losing votes for their party. Like,
you know, I think there's two things going on. One is the Democratic Party itself is a coalition of various interests that in theory have common interests, but never stop being who they are first. And that includes, you know, black people, white women, labor, and a lot of different things. And just like in the suffragette movement, when women were trying to fight for their rights, you had, you know, Susan B. Anthony and people on one side, and you had Ida B. Wells representing black women. But as soon as they didn't need her anymore, Ida B. Wells, you know, they withdrew the little bit of support they pretended to offer for black causes. And the same thing can be said of the Democratic Party, that, you know, the Bernie people seem to be Bernie people first. And while they might have some righteous complaints that, you know, that Bernie or bust, we now know what bust looks like. And I'll say another thing about Democrats is that, you know, Democrats are part-time, it seems like, and Republicans are all in. And if you compared like Fox News to MSNBC, Fox News is 24/7 about their agenda. While the Democrats, while MSNBC, you know, when you get to the weekend, they'll sell out and go to prison, you know, for the additional ad revenue. So, you know, they're just not as serious about it. And when you get to the midterm elections, you know, they take them off Democrats for some reason, as if that doesn't matter. And if that hasn't brought us the Congress that we have today, that along with gerrymandering, which Democrats slept on while Republicans after the last census, you know, got all this redistricting done and made it so that, you know, this you can lose the popular vote in the state and come up with a great majority of the state House seats and state Senate seats and control Congress. So, you know, Democrats, they don't take it as serious as Republicans do. They're just not all in.
Yeah, they're not fighting a war. Like, it's like they think they're thumb wrestling, and it's like, I mean, Republicans are like, oh no, like Republicans are essentially, they're like the, it's almost like the difference between 80s rap and 90s rap, you know, like it's like 80s rap, yeah, we had some fun, we hip hop hippie to the hippie, but okay, now it's fuck the police, you know, like they, like, it's gangsta now, and Republicans are quite gangsta, and they don't care. That's one thing that I think people, like, all right, everybody, folks, we get it. Republicans are hypocrites, but what you need to get the people out there listening, is that they don't care. You can get up there. You can embarrass them. You think Tomi Lahren cares that Trevor Noah had witty punchlines? Think about what Tomi Lahren did for Glenn Beck. Because remember, Tomi Lahren was under Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck got fired from Fox News, started his own studio, started his own program, made millions of dollars doing that. And then Glenn Beck went against Donald Trump and for Ted Cruz in the primary. And then after the primary, he stayed against Donald Trump and lost a lot of followership and lost a lot of money. But he had Tomi Lahren under him. So he sends Tomi Lahren out there to go hardcore and go do these stupid interviews and guest spots.
And then what happens? A whole bunch of people who don't like Tomi Lahren say her name, make her go viral, and share video clips that she's on, and then they increase her audience, and then that goes back to Glenn Beck's pocket, and now Glenn Beck's platform is back to where it was before the primary. It's like people got to watch how these folks are hustling you. Like the authentic left and the so-called left are way too easily hustled by thinking that they're dealing with people that will actually be embarrassed. They don't have the capacity to be embarrassed. They don't care. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people that don't care. Whew.
You're right.
Yeah, I think that's what I got. Thank you for coming on my little program. My little
pleasure.
Black podcast.
I didn't know what to expect, but I'm very pleased.
Oh yeah, and you know the Blog Talk Radio audio, how it is while you're recording. But I do the internal recording, and then after that's done, I mix it down and I upload that in place of what we recorded live, and it comes out sounding pretty crispy. It sounds pretty decent. Like if you have iTunes or any other way to access podcasts, it's the Black Podcast with Wine Cellar Media, and you can hear it. The audio is pretty decent.
Okay, I look forward to hearing it.
All right, and for the folks listening, remember, that is enigmainblack.wordpress.com with William Spivey. All right, go there and feed your brain. All right, William to William, have a good one, and please be as safe as possible wherever you are.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Peace. Bye.
Peace.